It's a tough awakening for the group of more than 3,000 people who are moving through Mexico on foot, trying to get to the US. After another night spent sleeping on the street. There's a lot of children here. The seven in the Martinez family are struggling already.
We're tired, but the children even more so. One is ill. She's got sores. They've all got irritated skin. It must be the sun and the change in the temperature.
Like most people in the caravan, the Martinezes have come from Central America, Honduras in their case. 15 people, three generations of their family have fled. Later they'll tell us why. Like many others, they arrive quickly at the Mexican city of Tapachula, hoping to then travel through the country to the States. But authorities confined them there for months. Now they've managed to get out with what little they can carry. These bags contain all of Elvin Martinez's, his wife and three children's possessions, perched on a rickety buggy.
I reckon the wheels might give out at some point today during the walk.
And right now, this is everything that you have in the world, pretty much. No, ahorita es todo lo que tienen.
Soon enough, it's time to head off. The group started before dawn to avoid the South Mexico heat. The only sound, a little chatter, and the children who can't take it anymore. And despite long lines of cars and taxis to the side of them, no one's going to give them a ride.
The Mexican government's plan this time round seems to be to let people advance, but only on foot. And they've set up checkpoints like this one daily ahead of the caravan to make sure that cars, buses, taxis aren't picking migrants up. And that way round, the migrants in the caravan are quickly getting worn down.
And there's still a couple of months' walk from Mexico City, the caravan's official stopping point. 6 months at their current rate from the US, where many want to eventually get to. The Martinez family are already on the verge of giving up, but one thing stops them.
We have nothing back home. We sold everything. And what's more, we can't go back.
My husband had problems with extortion because he's a taxi driver, and my son too, because he didn't want to join the gangs, and those that don't join can be killed.
It led Ana Leslie to other memories of a son she says was so pressured by the gangs to join that he took his own life.
My son killed himself when he was 20.
Life back home is tough, but so is this journey. That night, we left the family sleeping in a leaky warehouse in another village, only a tiny bit further on their long walk north.